this hour is Mr. Bill Salas. His website, prophecydepotministries.net. He's been a regular guest on the show in the past. It's been a little bit since he's been back on. He's got a few new books, and you can find them on his site or on Amazon. His latest books, The Now Prophecies, which is from last year, and the latest book, Apocalypse Road, was released in January of this year. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in the in a few moments.
Yeah. And folks, visit...
Big finger.
No, I just want to make sure people... You know what, folks? Visit Portable Solar LLC. That's Portable Solar LLC. Joe was talking about this earlier in the program. Portable Solar LLC. You know, 99% of installed solar systems don't work if the power grid fails, okay? Well, Portable Solar LLC, they've got the solution. They've got just the system. They've got the equipment. They've got the knowledge. You know, we're looking at uncertain times. We're looking at threats to the grid. We're looking at threats, whether it's an EMP or whatever. You need power. More power, Scotty. Well, who are the power professionals? Portable Solar LLC. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com. Have a look around. If you want to protect those that you love, if you want to provide power when others won't, Portable Solar LLC is your answer. Joe, I'm going to kick. I just want to kind of put the exclamation point on the information you provided earlier. I think that's important. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get back to our guest, Mr. Bill Salas. Before the break, we were talking about the Donald Trump's election, the agenda, his campaign promises, and prophecy in pertaining to Israel, the Middle East. Bill, I'm going to throw this out there. What we've seen in the Middle East, when Trump was running, a number of his campaign promises were to keep America out of other countries, you know, warring unnecessarily like we have been for decades. And a few other things with the Middle East, but we see that it's not so easy for him to get these things done. I think there's been more troop deployments in Afghanistan, and we see, you know, him, he launched that 59 missile, Tomahawk missiles into Syria, and we see the warmongering between North Korea and the U.S. Any concern that, at least with North Korea, that it's more than rhetoric this time around? And what do you think is in store for this administration in the Middle East?
Well, we'll start with North Korea. That's a big issue, and that could explode volatility at any given time. We're certainly flexing our muscles over there in the Middle East. We have to keep an eye on it. There's a crazy president over there who, Kim Jong, who wants to, in desperation, he could try to hit us. He could hit, you know, Hawaii with his goal is to, with his intercontinental ballistic missiles to do damage. If he thinks he's going down, he might take someone down with him. So I think Donald Trump is right to be over there pressing in on China, you know, having warships in the area there. He may have to deal with that. Like I said, there's intervening variables that we have going on. When it comes to North Korea, you know, what I do with my ministry is I share the secular worldview that you get on the mainstream news media, but I also like to take it to the present the biblical narrative in the prophetic perspective. We have the Bible. Bible prophecy is issued by God, and there's a whole lot said to the final generation in the Bible. I believe we are that final generation. So we need to say, is there anything specifically dealing with certain areas? And there's a ton of things said, certainly about Israel, Iran, Russia, Egypt, etc., even the Gaza, little old Hamas over there. There's not a lot said about North Korea or, you know, India. It's hard to even find India and Pakistan in the Bible. So we have to do our best to guess at what could happen there, but that's really all it is conjecture and a guess. But then again, when it comes to other areas, which shifts here to your second part of the question, the Middle East, we don't have to guess at a lot of things. I mean, there's certain prophecies written, like I said, centuries ago that are on my radar right now that we could wake up tomorrow and they could be happening. One would happen leading sequentially to the other. Like I said in the beginning part of the show, I call them the now prophecy. So I'll take an example. We'll look at Iran. That is the elephant in the room over there. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu has been lobbying back over the last decade about that being the elephant in the room, that being the greatest concern, the existential threat to the existence of the Jewish state. Now, you know, we're 2 years into this Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action treaty. We got 8 more years or so left on it. Iran is going to come around and want that. If they don't already have a nuclear weapon, they're going to put one together. And the intercontinental ballistic missiles they're working on, sharing technology with North Korea more than likely. This is a real livid threat. Now, there's a prophecy in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, written around 596 B.C., dealing specifically with in Iran today. It's called Ancient Elam, E-L-A-M, that hugs the Persian Gulf. It's where the Bashar province is. Bashar nuclear reactor is in there. It is the crown jewel of Iran's nuclear program. It is a strategic target to be struck. It is a nuclear disaster waiting to happen. It is built where three tectonic plates converge. It was built initially, started to be built in the 70s by the Germans, but when the Iranian Revolution took place in 1979, they tailed it out. Iranians tried to finish it, but they weren't able to, so they contracted the Russians in 1990s to complete the project. So you have a 40-year-old facility that's operational, filled with Russian nuclear fuel rods, that has got a 30-year-old cooling system, no one in it capable of handling a disaster like that in Fukushima, that is a target. And now with this Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action in place, Russia's contracted to build a couple more in that province, nuclear facilities, and China's also trying to hook up with Iran to build nuclear in Iran. Iran is going to go nuclear unless it's prevented, and Israel knows that. And so the prophecy says that there's going to come a point in time, Jeremiah tells us, it's only 6 verses, but they are so potent. And I invite your viewers and listeners to read Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39. I have a book on this, by the way, called Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Revealing the Ancient Prophecy of Elam. And also in my Now Prophecies book, I talk about this prophecy. But what Jeremiah said is that a time in the future where the Lord would be fiercely angry with the leadership of Iran. And I believe that time is now. Basically, Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map. It's got a radical regime in there trying to get nuclear capabilities to do that. And we know that he's upset with them because of the leadership, because he says in the prophecy he's going to destroy the kings and the princes, and you don't destroy good leadership. And the prophecy tells us why. It says it's because they want to launch something lethal somewhere, and the Lord's going to prevent that, because it says he's going to break their bow at the foremost of their might. At the foremost of their might, could this be nuclear? Well, it looks like it, because what happens when the disaster occurs, when the bow is broken at the foremost of its might, it says that there'll be a worldwide scattering of the indigenous population hastily. It'll be like a humanitarian crisis. They will have to get out of there quickly, and it says there'll be no nations where the outcasts will belong. The Iranians don't go. And so the Lord is trying to bring Jews back into the land of Israel. We're told in Ezekiel 39, verse 7, he's someday going to make his holy name known in the midst of his people Israel. And they won't profane it anymore, and the nations will know he's the Lord. That's what God is on God's calendar right now. He's bringing Jews back into the land, the Israelis, and it says that and they'll know that I'm the Holy One in Israel. So it requires in Israel, it requires Israelis for God's plan to make his holy name known to the world. And Iran wants to wipe that little Jewish state off the map. So we've got God at loggerhead with the Iranian regime over there. And in my estimation, we're not told who creates the disaster in Iran. It says that there's enemies at the time in Iran. I mean, if you look at the news headlines today, Iran has all kinds of enemies. The Sunnis are concerned with Iran. Israel's concerned with Iran. Saudi Arabia, of course, being one of the lead Sunni countries, concerned with Iran. Matter of fact, Saudi Arabia just laid an ultimatum on Qatar, you know, stop having relationships with Iran, stop supporting Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, this is getting livid over there. And the international community is concerned about Iran's, for a couple of reasons, they're trying to spread their hegemony throughout the Middle East to establish a Shiite caliphate. And they're threatened to shut off the Strait of Hormuz, which at its narrowest strip is 21 nautical miles, to prevent the flow of oil, Arab oil, and Middle East oil getting out into the nations. And still about a third of the world's oil goes through there. That would just really put a major catastrophe in global economies. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about Iran right now, who is apocalyptically minded. They believe if they hasten apocalyptic condition in the Middle East, It will hasten the, it will bring about the coming of their Messiah, their Shiite Messiah. The, they call him the 12th Imam, the Mahdi. I mean, they're not a rational actor. So, you know, these are biblical prophecies that could happen at this point in time. That's just one of them. If that happens, you now have just kicked off a hornet's nest in the Middle East. You've opened up Pandora's prophetic box, and you can't put the lid back on it. I can go through a whole bunch of lists of repercussions that I think will happen. I mean, I could spend the whole show talking about the Middle East, Joe and Doug, but, you know, what's your next question? And if you want, we'll come back here to the Middle East.
Well, staying with the Middle East just for one moment. Now, I remember you, when your book first came out, the Psalm 87.
Psalm 83, right?
Or Psalm... I'll get it right, honest. What in a paragraph, perhaps, what have you seen coalesce since writing that book? That I know many things, but coalesce that maybe you looked at and said, okay, right on the money with what I have written specifically.
Right, and Psalm 83. I mentioned it in the first section of the show, just quickly, well, by way of review for people who just tuned in, written 3,000 years ago by Asaph, the psalmist, who was King David's worship leader, but also was a prophet, we're told in 2 Chronicles 29:30, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And he wrote 12 psalms. And those 12 psalms, which are Psalm 73 to Psalm 83, it was, could be 74 to 84, and Psalm 50, I might have that wrong, but Psalm 83 is the most prophetic by far. Now what he said is that there's going to be an Arab coalition that comes together to form a confederacy to destroy the nation of Israel and banish the name of Israel forevermore. Now we see that that has been a prophecy in process since the founding of modern day Jewish state in 1948. Like I said, they've warred against Israel, they've formed got an Arab League now in place. All the requirements for Psalm 83 are in place. And those Arab countries, even though there's a couple of fragile peace treaties between Egypt and Israel and Jordan and Israel, they don't like the Jews. I mean, they are Muslim countries. At this point, there's some catering to each other with Saudi Arabia and Egypt, because the old saying in the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, they're all concerned about Iran. And Donald Trump is seizing the opportunity to facilitate those kind of relationship. Matter of fact, I think your last guest talked about the new point man that has been appointed in Saudi Arabia. He's going to likely try to show some favor to Israel, and he's going to come down heavy on Qatar. You know, so there are dynamics happening in the Middle East that is Donald Trump is trying to capitalize on, but they're very dangerous dynamics. I mean, the Muslims, you know, you're never going to see, even though Saudi Arabia may want, may allow Israel to fly over some of its airspace to attack Iran. A common denominator is their concerns about Iran. You will never see Saudi Arabia allowing Jews to go into Mecca or Christians to go into Mecca and things like that. So, you know, we're dealing with just a political, bunch of political expediency and wrangling going on at this point. At some point, the dust is going to settle. Events are going to trigger one event or prophetic event upon another. And you will ultimately will lead, in my estimation, to Psalm 83. And I think the key to the timing of that is in Zechariah 12, which talks about the fact that they're Jerusalem. It all comes back to Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 12, verses 1 through 9, he mentions Jerusalem 9 times. It says it's going to be a cup of trembling to those nations around Israel, those Psalm 83 countries. And in that day, when it becomes a cup of trembling, when they're trying to lay, says they'll try to lay siege on Jerusalem and Judah, he says that all the nations of the world, Jerusalem will become like a troublesome stone, a burdensome stone, that they, when they try to, the nations of the world try to intervene and divide it up, Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish state. And of course, that's what they want to do. The Palestinians want East Jerusalem. They want it to be a capital of their own state. It says it'll be a burdensome stone. They won't be able to move it. It'll cut them in pieces, it says. And then it says in that day, when we see that going on, and we're seeing that going on right now, even with Donald Trump and Jared Kushner, he says in that day, Israel will go to war, and it'll go to war with the surrounding peoples. And it says that the captains, the IDF of Judah, will be like a fire pan, a torch, And it says the Arabs around them, the surrounding peoples, will be like sheaves, and the Israeli defense forces will just take them out. And that's just, in essence, to me, that would be Psalm 83. So we're looking at in that day being probably in this day. When Zechariah wrote this prophecy around 530 B.C., none of those things were in play. He had gone back from Babylonian captivity to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the first Jewish temple, would have been destroyed by the Babylonians. It says in 2 Kings 25 that all the houses in Jerusalem had been burned down. In the king's house, the temple had been burned down. So here come the Jews back after 539 BC when King Cyrus of the Persian Empire conquered the Babylonians, sent the Jews back into the land with this enormous undertaking to restore Israel, rebuild the city. And at that time, none of the things that Zechariah 12 wrote about was in play. But right now, all the things Zechariah 12 verses 1 through 9 are in play. And I think what's being said there is that when you see this stuff going on, that is when the war is going to happen with the surrounding peoples in Israel. And Israel is just going to take them out.
So I
would invite your listeners to read Zechariah 12 verses 1 through 9 and see how that fits in with Psalm 83. And we've got roughly about 150 verses connected with Psalm 83 in my Psalm 83 book. Those are all these books I'm talking about are available at my website, prophecydepot.com, Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot.com.
Yeah, and Bill, your latest book, Apocalypse Road. I was just checking out your site here and doing a little digging into the book. I have not read it, obviously, but your books are always very good and very detailed, and you connect them with the scriptures and the prophecies. Let's talk about the book if we can a little bit. What's this book about?
Well, Apocalypse Road is a sequel to Revelation Road, and I'm writing an End Times trilogy as a novel, but also a biblical commentary. It's actually two books in one, so it's kind of like the first section of these books is like Tim LaHaye's Left Behind, and then the second section is I'm actually taking it a step further and actually explaining why I'm saying what I'm saying in the novel. I'm trying to write it in this format, this series in this format, because Bible prophecy is not just for the scholars, it's for every man, woman, and child. And some people can understand the way things could lay out in a novel more than they can trying to understand, you know, biblical commentary. So we're trying to give them both opportunities, trying to paint the end times picture into a story. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about biblical prophecies like we are right now. They're interesting. I mean, it's just fascinating to think that God could tell the end from the beginning, and we could actually see in our generation these things setting up of all the generations. But it's another thing to find out what's going to happen when they hit the pavement. I mean, they will affect us. So what I've tried to do is put a family into the middle of these prophecies as they find their fulfillment. Revelation Road was the first book. It goes through the prophecies we've talked about, Psalm 83, Elam, and Jeremiah 49, and it concludes at the end of the church age with the rapture, the vanishing of the Christians. And so Apocalypse Road picks up with what happens to those left behind, what happens to the family members that didn't believe in Jesus Christ, did not get raptured, and get left behind to deal with Ezekiel 38, the Russian-Iranian-led invasion, to deal with the revealing of the Antichrist, the harlot world religion of Mystery Babylon. What happens, and it's interesting, one of the main things I've done with this second book, Apocalypse Road, is Revelation Road covered the church age, Apocalypse Road covers what happens after the church age, but before the tribulation. See, a lot of people think, well, you have a rapture, and then you have 7 years left of tribulation, which is the traditional timeline. But no, not necessarily. There's a gap between the rapture and the tribulation. It's an unspecified period of time. We don't know how long it will be. It will more than likely, in my estimation, be several years. Now, many of our prophecy colleagues will admit that there's a gap. Because the gap exists because it's not the rapture that starts the tribulation. It's the confirmation of a false covenant between Israel and some other party in Daniel 9:27 that starts Daniel's 70th week. We also call it the 7 years of tribulation. Now, I'm the only one to my knowledge who has taken the reader into that period of time. Although people have talked about it and acknowledge it, they've dropped the ball, and so I picked it up, and I'm going into it. And I'm showing how it's going to be a time where there'll be supernatural deception unprecedented. There'll be no restraint, when 2 Thessalonians we're told. It'll be a time when the supernatural becomes the natural. The paranormal becomes the new normal. 2 Thessalonians tells us that the mystery of lawlessness is being restrained right now. And when that is no longer being restrained, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And it goes on to tell us that what else is being restrained is the supernatural deception that will propel this Antichrist into his charismatic world leadership. It says signs and lying wonders with all deception and the workings of Satan, it says in there. That restraint is about to be removed, and this guy is about to be revealed. And this happens in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the seal judgments. We start to see this stuff happen. And so what I've done is I've taken the reader into the book of Revelation, into chapter 6, and other places, and we started laying out, you know, most of the teachers would say, well, the seal judgments in Revelation chapter 6 put us into the 7-year tribulation period. I present arguments to say I don't think so. I pull out the first 5 seal judgments, and I put them into this gap period. And I make it very relevant to the reader, because right now, if the rapture were to happen at any given moment, in that same split second, people we know and love who don't believe in Jesus Christ get plunged into this perilous period, which not many people have written about. So this book is incredibly important for people right now to understand what happens when we get taken out of here as believers in the rapture, to the ones we love who get left behind.
Very interesting stuff, Bill, and I do look forward to reading the book. Folks, again, go to prophecydepot.com or prophecydepotministries.net. Check out the book, Apocalypse Road. You can not only get the book, but Bill's got DVDs with the book, a DVD with the book, and much more. You can get it there. And his last book, The Now Prophecies, I'm pretty sure we read that, Dan. At least I did. That was a book that he released last year. But again, his latest book, Apocalypse Road, was released in January. And seems like a very good read.
Indeed it is. We got about 3 minutes to the bottom of the hour break, Bill. In 3 minutes, where do you want to? What can we cover here in this little 3-minute slot?
Well, I think what's really important that I'd like to emphasize to your listeners and viewers is that we are living more than likely. Generation. The evidence to that is not only the existence of Israel, which they're celebrating, you know, they just recently celebrated their, their 69th birthday? Yeah, I believe it was. That was a key indicator that the world hourglass made its final turn and that the grains of sand are almost run out in that bottom chamber of the world hourglass. But more so now, we are looking at all the end time signs are converging. Russia's relationship with Turkey and Iran, that's in Gog. Invasion of Egypt. We're looking at the technologies that exist with where no one can buy or sell, and let's say take a mark, perhaps a biometric technology. That's in Revelation 13. That's something the Antichrist will use. We're looking at all these things, the weapons that are fashioned, etc. And it tells us right now that we are more than likely living not only in the end times, but deep into the end times, which is the central theme of the Bible, the latter days, the latter years, the time of the end. And that generation, which I believe we are, has more information written to it. It's Revelation is God's gift for that generation. And so what I try to encourage people is that don't just get the secular worldview. Get the biblical narrative and the prophetic perspective. We offer this in our books and DVDs, and so do many other Bible prophecy experts out there right now. There's an abundance of good literature out there for people to get tuned into. What does God have to say about this time? You know, Noah needed to know that a flood was coming. That was very relevant for him. I call that his now prophecy. Joseph needed to know that 7 years of famine was coming, but the good news is he has seven years to prepare for that, 7 years of plenty. Jeremiah tried to warn the people in the southern kingdom of Judah that 70 years of captivity was coming. Well, God is trying to warn us that there are certain things that we need to be aware of right now also. He didn't issue Bible prophecy to impress us, but to inform us. He's not a God with too much time on his hands. He holds all time in his hands. And the reason he gives us Bible prophecy, which is outsourced from him, biblical predictions with 100% accuracy, is to show prove his sovereignty. Only he can declare the end from the beginning. but also to equip us for the days in which we live. And it can save lives. Jeremiah saved many lives by people being prepared to not fight the Babylonians, but to submit and go into captivity. And the main thing I emphasize is it can save souls. Bible prophecy is a great evangelical witnessing tool. I came to know the Lord through studying Bible prophecy, the book of Revelation, taught by Chuck Missler. So I'm all about letting people know, look, God wants you to have some very important information right now. Don't shortcut yourself just with the secular worldview on Fox, CNN, this sort of stuff. Certainly watch it. See what the analysts and the experts have to say. But realize that a lot of those things they're talking about, which they cannot tell you what the future will hold, the Bible can't. And so use that as your source for the most accurate information so you can navigate your way through the times in which you live.
Man, that's so true. And I think that people today, who don't superimpose, overlay biblical prophecy over the current events, over the newscast of current events, are missing out intellectually, missing out of the clues, the contextual analysis of the current events, but also they're woefully misinformed or uninformed, I should say. Very important indeed. We're going to have Bill Salas on for one more segment. This is incredible. We're living in incredible times, and prophecy is a gift, as Bill Salas said. It's a gift for that final generation, and that to me, I don't know, that kind of makes me, it warms me. It warms my heart. It makes me feel good. We're right back with Bill Salas for our final segment. Don't go anywhere, folks. Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. Global Star Radio Network. Stay where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changelessandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman & Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Our guest is Mr. Bill Salas. His website, prophecydepotministries.net, prophecydepot.com. Check out his latest book, Apocalypse Road. It's available on Amazon and on his website. We've been talking about a lot of things pertaining to prophecy, the Middle East, Donald Trump, and we got some interesting areas to get into in this segment. So let's jump right in. Bill, we were talking about this being the year of a number of important anniversaries that not only line up, but they also are significant to Israel, not only for America, but Israel, more importantly than the rest of the world. Let's get into this a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, and I don't like to make a lot out of these things, but, you know, we're living at a point in time, like I said at the very beginning of the program, that the ancient biblical predictions were not to remain on their parchments indefinitely, that they're going to roll off those parchments and pound down on the pavement and pack a powerful global punch. So basically, we have to look at these things and treat them with a degree of seriousness, these anniversaries. Now, what we've got, you know, I know a lot of your viewers are probably September 23rd scenario where it's being connected with Revelation chapter 12. I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. I'm not going to park there. I don't put a lot of merit to that. The way I entreat Revelation chapter 12 is that's all about Israel, those first handful of verses. It's talking about what's going on in Israel. It's a segue in the book of Revelation that breaks off and says, okay, here's Israel represented by the sun, the moon, the stars. She gives birth to the man child. It's about he gets caught up, and then the second 3.5 years the remnant of Israel gets persecuted. Now the Catholic Church will say they're that woman in Revelation chapter 12, and so, but you know, there's all kinds of stuff on YouTube on that thing. I would say that be careful of that. I see that as nothing much more than a Mayan calendar type scenario, but you know, again, I'm not an expert on it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. What I'm concerned about is some of these other interesting anniversaries in 2017. So, for instance, the reunification of the nation of Israel in Jerusalem, the Six-Day War in 1967 in June. We just celebrated that 50-year reunification. You know, it's interesting. It was a perfect time. Should Donald Trump have wanted to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that would have been a great time to celebrate the 50-year reunification of Jerusalem when the Jews took over, Jerusalem, and got the Western Wall, and they nearly tripled at that time. Now, of course, since then, they've given back portions of the Sinai and let the Gaza go crazy to Hamastan over there now. But, what Donald Trump did on June 1st, instead of moving the embassy, he signed that waiver that's been in place since 1969, which gave him another 6 months to defer dealing with moving the embassy. Well, 1995 law came out with the Congress that they could move the embassy to Jerusalem. But that's interesting. We've had the 50-year anniversary of that. We've got the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, and the Pope is supposed to celebrate that anniversary when Martin Luther went and hammered his 95 thesis on the Church of Wittenberg. That's a powerful thing. Look what happened through the church age when Protestant Reformation happened. At that point, you had Council of Trent came forward back when. You had you had all the the Inquisitions were going on for a while back, even at that time. And now, 500 years later, we're going to celebrate that anniversary. And so Pope's going to celebrate it. There's rumors, and I don't know how true this is, that the Pope is going to announce the Reformation is over with some Protestant leaders. Now, don't take my word for that. We'll have to wait and see. It may be too thorny of an issue for the Pope to do that at this point, just like it was too thorny of an issue for Donald Trump to move the embassy. But that's the 500th anniversary coming up. Then you have the 100-year anniversary of the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, who controlled the Middle East for 400 years between 1517 and 1917. And that enabled the ability for the Arab states to be settled again, Iraq, and I think it was Iraq, but I think it was 1935. I don't have the dates right. Egypt, I think, was 1922. Iran became Persia in 1935. And Israel became a nation in 1948. There would be no Israel if there was still an Ottoman Empire in control over there. And, of course, that's a lot of the issues you see going on between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Who's going to have the control over the caliphate, especially in the Middle East and spreading out its tentacles throughout the world? So we have that anniversary. And you also have the 100-year anniversary of the Fatima, Portugal apparition of Mary, where she came to those three shepherd kids and on several visitations, and actually left serious messages, secrets for them to reveal, dealing with Russia even. In fact, Russia, I think, was the third and sixth secret. I'm not sure on the exact ones. And that's huge. Pope Paul has just celebrated that among 500,000 people, I think, was there. So let's talk about that for a minute, because that's a pretty powerful event right now, that 100-year anniversary.
And Bill, if I can, with the Fatima, is this an accept? Does the Catholic Church accept this?
Oh, yeah.
Flat out.
Yeah. You have lots of apparitions that have happened throughout the Church age are accredited, officially accredited by the Catholic Church. Some aren't, but they're followed by many of the pilgrims. The Catholic faithful make pilgrimages to these places, like, for instance, Medjugorje, not necessarily accredited by the Catholic Church, although they're looking at it closely right now. That was in 1981 in Medjugorje, Bosnia, Herzegovina. Lots of people go there. Zaytun, Egypt was a one in 1968 through 1970, over a Copt church in Cairo, suburbs of Cairo, was seen by millions of people for over 2 years over periods of time. Sometimes Mary would come, supposedly they call her Mary. I'm going to tell you why that's not her in just a minute. Seen over this Coptic church in illuminated capacity, looked like a female, seen by millions, Muslims included. Gamal Nasser, the president of Egypt, witness this. It was on TV. You go to YouTube, folks. I'm telling you, type in Zaytun apparitions and you'll be astounded. You had Lourdes, France, 58, Guadalupe, Mexico in 1531. It's interesting. The Mary apparitions go way back, even before the Catholic Church happened. There were people who were talking about, well, not so much to say the apparitions, but the Sacred Heart of Mary, which was embraced by the Catholic Church. She's got a sacred heart. They believe that she's got an immaculate heart is what that evolved into. They believe she's got an immaculate heart. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who the Catholics believe these apparitions are, the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Fatima. She's got the Queen of Heaven. I mean, her infamous names go on and on in the Catholic, names for her. But, basically, she's running around a supernatural phenomena. Wherever she shows up, things happen. Miracles happen. Catholic conversions happen. The one great example is in 1917. We're celebrating the 100-year anniversary of that in Fatima, Portugal. Shows up with these three shepherd kids, gives them several visitations, messages, and tells them, listen, she's going to appear in October of 1917. Now, World War I was going on at the time, by the way. And she says, I'm going to appear in October. I want you to get people here. And 70,000 people show up. And it's raining. It's wet outside. The ground's wet. They're wet. People are coming to get healed. 70,000 people, which is a lot of people making a pilgrimage back then. And sure enough, she appears. And they have what's called the miracle of the sun, where the sun, they say it dances. and it actually did move. I mean, it moved. And when it did move, people were getting healed. Their clothes became dry. The ground became dry. Again, this is all on YouTube. You can follow this stuff. And people were converting to Catholicism. Now, the Pope has gone over there to celebrate the 100-year anniversary, and we're not talking in front of 70,000 people. This just happened about a month or so back. We're talking 500,000 people went there. And the Pope has said on this 100-year anniversary that he's going to issue plenary indulgences on this 100-year anniversary. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, you know, an indulgence is a forgiveness of your temporal sins. Now, the Bible tells us that our sins are only forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, the Lamb of God. And if we put our faith in Him, whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the Pope is saying that you can have plenary indulgences. Now, there's plenary, which are full pardons, or there's partial indulgences, which are not full pardons. He's offering plenary indulgences. And all you have to do to obtain these, first of all, you do have to be a Catholic. You have to go to communion, which you have to do every week, by the way, or you are in jeopardy of going to hell, because that you can fall into a point where they call their mortal or grave sins. You have to faithfully take the Mass and go to communion. You have to pray to get these indulgences. You have to pray for the good intentions of the Holy Father. Okay, now let's talk about that for a minute. This is the Pope. The Holy Father, who is the Vicar of Christ, who the catechisms say he can do no wrong, and the Catholics have to do everything he says, and he can put together dogmas, papal infallibility, which the popes have done in the past. You have to pray for his good intentions. Now, this is the Pope who recently acknowledged that the Palestinian state at the Vatican was supposed to pray for those good intentions. Whatever that means, however many good intentions he supposedly has, he's just a man, by the way. Yeah. And then you have to make a pilgrimage to Fatima if you want these indulgences. So 500,000 people went there. I presume, you know, they got pardons. You have to pray before any statue of Our Lady of Fatima. Pray before an idol, before a statue. I mean, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You know, to have idols. That's the thing that got Israel in all kinds of trouble. Now, this is a real supernatural phenomenon, folks, that's going on. And Mary, this whoever she is, and listen, we love, you know, at Prophecy Depot Ministries, we love Catholics. I'm not trying to bash Catholics. But even Mary said in Luke, around verses 42 through 48, that her soul magnifieth God, her Savior, who had mercy on her. I'm paraphrasing, and I don't have the verses open. Who had mercy. Her, his lowly maidservant. Now, the Catholic Church teaches that she has an immaculate heart, which means she is sinless, meaning not only that she was sinless when God supernaturally impregnated her with his Holy Spirit for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to be in her womb, but she was born sinless. And they got into trouble with that because people said, wait a minute, Mary died. She acknowledged she needed a Savior in Luke, and she died. The wages of sin are death. So she couldn't have been sinless if she died. So then they came out in the 1950s, I believe it was, with what they call the Pope came out. I think it was Pope Pius XII came out with the Assumption of Mary dogma, which Catholics have to believe. And what that says is that Mary didn't die, she assumed to heaven. So, you know, listen, most Catholics don't even know about what they have to believe, and really, hardly any Protestants know any of this stuff I'm talking about. But Mary promises that she's this apparition. She says she's going to be seen. Now, here's what she says. And I believe Satan's got an end times plan for this Queen of Heaven. And one of the apparition's visionary messages says, I wish to also tell you that before my apparitions end completely, meaning more is coming, I shall be seen by every denomination and religion throughout this world. I will be seen among all people, not for just a moment, but everyone will have a chance to see me. As I appeared in Zaytun, which was 1968 to 1970 in Egypt, we just talked about that, I shall appear again, so everyone may see me. Pray and help my plans to be realized, not just here, but throughout the world. Now, this Mary figure is obsessed with several things. She wants to be the co-redemptrix, the mediatrix and advocate. Matter of fact, this 100-year anniversary of Fatima, there's a strong lobbying group going on to petition that the Pope would make her, elevate her to the status of co-redemptrix, mediatrix and advocate. We're talking about her being involved in mediating in the process of salvation. She is obsessed with the Catholics praying the Rosary daily. Now, I'm not exactly sure. I think that's like about 43 words. It's not just Hail Mary, full of grace. And they're to recite this frequently throughout the day. And if they do, she promises 15 things to them that are things. If you type in promises of the Rosary, you'll see there's 15 of them. You read those and you'll find out these are things that only God can do. But somehow she's able to do them. By the way, she issued the Rosary. Tradition has it around the 12th century. She came and gave the Rosary. So here's what I want you guys to do, Catholics. I want you to pray this stuff because it's good for you. And then she's obsessed with creating world peace. And she wants to consecrate the world to her Immaculate Heart, which basically means converted to Catholicism. She wants to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. This is part of the secrets given to the visionaries at Fatima, to Sister Lucia. She's all about the importance of the Eucharist, which is where they believe that's called transubstantiation. The Catholics believe, unlike the Protestant, well, you know, your typical non-denominational churches that take communion in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they believe that when the priest, and you have to be an anointed priest, pope, bishop, cardinal, anointed priest, they believe when they do the communion, which Catholics have to do every Sunday, and on the holy days of the Catholic Church that are appointed, there's 6 or 8 of those or something like that. You've got to take they believe that what happens is the priest, he beckons Christ from leaving the right-hand side of the throne of God to come and inhabit the wafer, physically present, be present in the bread, the wafer, and in the wine, the elements of the Mass. They believe it's a metaphysical, mystical experience where Christ comes, and it keeps that's the reason they have to do it every Sunday, is it keeps people in the graces of God, keeps them away from sin. And if Christ is going to go to these great leaps and bounds to inhabit the wafer and inhabit the wine, it's actually an insult if you don't show up for that. And it's so powerful that they actually put these elements in a monstrance, a container, so that people who can't visit the Mass can actually come and visit the presence of Christ subsequently because they keep it in a monstrance. Now, I'm going to tell your listeners that that is bunk. All of the above, everything I just said. Mary died. She was a beloved mother of Jesus Christ. This is a demonic feminine that Satan has concocted that's literally showing up and says she's going to return. And that whole thing about the presence of Christ in the Eucharist is nonsensical. Christ even told us himself, we would do this in remembrance of his sacrifice. You know, this is my body, the bread, etc. Matter of fact, let me leave this quote as we're starting to wind down on the hour. This is from Kimberly Hahn, dealing with the church, in particularly dealing with the Eucharist. She's the wife of Dr. Scott Hahn, who's one of the leading Catholic apologists today. They had a book called Rome, Sweet Home. And here's what she said. One evening, we had an opportunity to be at a Mass where there was a Eucharistic procession at the end. Eucharist meaning the wafer, the elements, Christ is inhabiting it through transubstantiation, the Eucharist. I had never seen this before. As I watched row after row of grown men and women kneel and bow when the monstrosity passed by, I thought these people believe that it is the Lord and not just bread and wine. If this is Jesus, that is the only appropriate response. If one should kneel before a king today, how much more before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Is it safe to kneel? Is it safe not to kneel? But I continued to ruminate. What if it's not? If that is not Jesus in the monstrance, then what they are doing is gross idolatry. So is it safe to kneel? The situation highlighted what Scott had said all along. The Catholic Church is not just another denomination. It is either true or diabolical. So the Catholic Church has put itself, that was the end of the quote. Now I'm telling you, the Catholic Church has put itself where it considers itself to be the one true church.
Yeah.
And it's either that or it's diabolical. There's no way around it. Even the Catholic apologists recognize this.
When we were in Orlando, Florida, with the Prophecy in the News conference a few years ago, you were there, Bill. There was a big church right on the, I think it's the 95, where it was a huge church, and it had a statue of Mary, and it said Queen of Heaven. Is that still is that a Catholic thing? Or do they call Mary the Queen of Heaven?
Oh yeah, that's one of her most used names. You know, I mean, the Queen of Heaven, absolutely. The Queen of Heaven's, you know, planning on coming back, as she was seen in, she'll be seen by all the denominations, as she was seen in Zaytun. That's her. Matter of fact, you know, Donald Trump went on his 9-day tour, where he went to Saudi Arabia, then he went to Israel, then he went to the Vatican, then he went to the Europe summit. And just prior to that, you know, he's on a push for, you know, terrorism, Mideast peace, and things like that. Just prior to that, the Pope had come out and said that he wants to entrust Mideast peace to the Mother of Peace, and he's referring to the Queen of Heaven. You know, matter of fact, I'm going to try to find a quote if I can while I got you on here. I'm not sure I'll be able to, but, you know, Mary actually took credit, this apparition of Mary actually took credit for ending World War One. I'm going to probably not find that quote in time, but what I'm going to tell you, what basically was said at the time of Fatima, was said that, I want you to, she told the shepherd kids, I want you to pray the rosary. And essentially what she said, in doing that, you will enlist my ability to stop the war. I mean, she literally said that only the war could be stopped by her. And when the war stopped a year later, in 1918, you know, many Catholics gave her credit for that. And so when the Pope comes along and says, when Pope Francis comes along and says, I'm going to entrust Mideast peace to the Mother of Peace, he's talking about that. She's got a track record in the Catholic annals of stopping wars and bringing peace to the area. Now, Donald Trump, he wants to, you know, he says this will be the deal, you know, the deal to top all deals, Mideast peace. But the Pope's not trusting Trump to do that. He's just, basically, you can Google search this. He's going to entrust Mideast peace to the Mother of Peace, the Queen of Heaven.
Now, I was asked, because that's one thing I remember, that church. And I remember that slogan there, the Queen of Heaven. And I was just doing a quick search, and I found the Jeremiah 44, chapter 44, where it gets into this. And this is where the wives of the men of Israel were burning incense unto other gods, and they called her the Queen of Heaven. And Jeremiah comes in and says that because the Lord can no longer bear the evil of their doings, and the abominations, which is referring to, you know, burning the incense and worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And it talks about how they sinned against the Lord and whatnot. But I was just wondering, because, and I've never really looked into the Catholic Church's, if this is an accepted teaching of the Catholic Church. I know that the Fatima and stuff is in that same realm, but I didn't know that the Catholic Church actually promotes this.
The Catholic Church, just a couple more things about them. They're replacement theologians. They do not believe Israel is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy right now. They believe the Israel was the promises, but the Catholic Church is the children of the fulfillment. They're all millennial. They're not looking for Jesus Christ to come in a pre-trib rapture. They believe that they need to do certain things in the world as the one true church to, you know, bring things together for the world, and they're going to rely on Mary to do that. They trust her for this sort of a thing. So we're dealing with a real situation here, folks. The Catholic Church, it's important for people to understand who they are. Now, the Queen of Heaven and some of her other, I've got this stuff in my book, Apocalypse Road. If you really, I mean, I go through the catechisms. I indict the Catholic Church. I actually show how they're going to be cast into the sickbed of the Great Tribulation, and they will actually have, Catholics will actually be killed, in judgment, that they're actually going to be drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus in Revelation. This is a harlot world religion, and that's from Revelation 17:6. I show this stuff in my book through methodical research of apparitions, messages, catechisms, quotes and statements. Also, there's a great book out called The Queen of Heaven, written several years back by Jim Tetlow and co-authored by Brad Myers. You know, if you folks really want to know what Satan's got planned through the Catholic Church, get Apocalypse Road, my book, and get The Queen of Heaven by Jim Tetlow. I mean, you're going to be blown away at what's going on there. And many people are afraid to come out on this stuff because the Catholic Church is very powerful. And people say, well, Pope Francis, you know, he's such a nice guy. He could never be that diabolical. Well, you know, I would beg to differ. When you're dealing with a situation after the rapture, when supernatural deception is not being restrained, lawlessness is abounding, which is sin metastasized, the lawless one is coming onto the scene, the Antichrist, the world is in chaos with those sealed judgments. Wars are occurring, famines and scarcities are occurring, and is clamoring for a global government, a global religious scenario, which I believe is the fourth horseman of the four sealed, and I get this all into my book. They come, and they try to establish this harlot world religion at this point, which is in cahoots to church and state matrimony. With the Antichrist, who the harlot, it says the harlot sits on the beast in Revelation 17:2, the beast carries her to her, hides the Antichrist from Revelation 17:7. That stuff's about to happen, folks. I mean, and it's not going to be restrained. And the Catholic Church, in my estimation, is part of Satan's end times plans, and it's going to be deadly. And so everything changes. The situation will determine the behavior of the Pope, whether it's this Pope or another one at that time. Recently, Pope Francis came down heavy on African bishops that did not comply with him. I think he fired them. I'm not sure, but I mean, it was bad. You can read about this stuff. He's no Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips. You'll be surprised to know what this guy's capable of.
Bill Salas. Thank you so much. You've really taken us to the end of the program. It's very interesting. Pope says he's a pilgrim of peace, by the way. You know, so, wow. Just an incredibly informative broadcast with Bill Salas.
Prophecy Depot, ministries.net, prophecydepot.com.
Prophecy Depot. Like Home Depot, except prophecydepot.com. prophecydepot.com.
Any upcoming appearances or presentations you're giving, Bill?
Yes, actually, I am preparing to do a whole month of July in Grants Pass, Oregon, Calvary Chapel of Grants Pass, four Sundays consecutively. I will be teaching on powerful Bible prophecies that are very relevant for our time. And then trying to get on some TV shows coming up. We'll have dates on those soon. Those will be more into August and September. And then got the conferences coming up in October with Prophecy Watchers. 36 different speakers. That's powerful. You guys are going to want to go to that. And then I'm going to be debating Joel Richardson, who the harlot is. He thinks it's Mecca. I'm going to put my arguments forward as to why it's the Catholic Church, and that's going to be at a Southwest Radio conference in November. So, yeah, got a pretty busy lineup coming forward.
Sounds like it. And we had Joel Richardson on just a little bit ago. That should be an interesting conversation.
Interesting intellectual discourse indeed. Well, Bill Salas, thank you so much for your gift of time, your gracious gift of time. It's always interesting, as usual. Prophecy Depot. .com for all of your latest works. You're just a very prolific author, and the number of books you've written just amazes me, and the quality of the books just incredible. So thank you for that, and thank you for coming on.
It was great to be on your show, you guys. Just keep up the great work. I'm so excited to see how many listeners you're now getting.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, we're expanding, and it's all because of the graciousness and the listeners are the greatest. So our listeners are the greatest. Thank you, Mr. Salas.
All right.
Until next time, folks. That'll do it. If anything does take place over the weekend, watch HagmanReport.com. That's the place to be. HagmanReport.com. Anything that takes place over the weekend, we will take to the either the airwaves or the website. Watch our social networking, and folks, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It raises our visibility. Follow us on our social networking feed. And we just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening, for supporting us, for praying for us, for being part of our radio show. Joe?
Absolutely. Until next week, stay safe, God bless, and have a great evening.